This Bible talk, titled Lift, is on Psalm 123 and is part of our Summer Psalms series on the Songs of Ascent. It was given at Robina on Sunday, the 23rd of January, 2022.
Well, it was in London in the early 1800s where horse trainer Jack Tonkin realised he had a problem. Armistice, his prize filly, was terrible at racing. Skittish and easily distracted, often nervous, she was yet to win a race, and Jack just knew that he had a winner. Coming home late one winter's night, he passed a horse and carriage in the street and noticed that the horse was wearing blinkers. It was common for draft horses, they were often spooked in the streets, and so these blinkers would restrict a horse's vision to keep them safe while pulling goods or pulling people through the bustling streets. And this was Jack's aha moment. And he scurried home because Armistice was to race the next day. His wife sewed together a crude hood out of her own underwear, and they inserted two small bowls at an angle into the eye holes. The next day, Armistice was a changed horse. Calm and focused, she jumped from the gate wearing Mrs. Tonkin's underwear on her head. No longer distracted by the cheering crowds or spooked by the other racehorses, her blinkers restricted her vision to the finish line, which she crossed five lengths ahead of the rest of the field. An incredible victory that caused a stir and changed the racing world forever. Now, these days, blinkers or blinders are so common on horses, we don't even give them a second look. Now, why do I say all this? Well, friends, we're back in the Psalms this morning, in Psalm 123, and it's a psalm that's all about our vision. It's my prayer that as we walk out of here this morning, we walk out not with undies on our head, but with our blinkers on, that we would be squarely focusing on our merciful God, not being distracted by the world around us. These psalms that we've been looking at these last few weeks, these summer psalms, they're all ancient songs sung by God's Old Testament people on the way to Jerusalem. They're designated in the Psalter as songs of ascent. They are songs for pilgrims to sing on the way to Jerusalem, to sing on the way to the temple, to sing on the way to meet with God. And so they are songs of encouragement. They are songs of challenge. They are songs sung to spur one another on that long journey, on a pilgrimage that for some would take weeks or even months. They're songs that speak to us even today. We no longer travel up to the temple, travel up to Jerusalem, but in this journey of life, these songs still sing. They sing to us. They spur us on. God still encourages us with these old, old psalms. Because we too are on our way to meet with God. Soon we will see him face to face. And so what will the soundtrack be for our journey through life? Well, let's jump in. Let's see what Psalm 123 has for us this morning. Let's pick it up together. Psalm 23, verse 1. To you I lift up my eyes, O you who are enthroned in the heavens. It's a simple verse, but a very profound opening line, isn't it? You can almost hear the Israelites singing this song to each other, singing it to themselves as they walk those dusty long roads to Jerusalem. To you, I lift up my eyes. It's easy to be distracted and downcast, especially on a long and tiring journey, weary and worn out, frustrated and fixated on what's before you. And the psalmist says, lift. Lift up your eyes, focus, look, behold, see. See the goal, see the finish line, see him, the one who is enthroned in the heavens. To you I lift up my eyes. Now, for the past few months, I've noticed I'm getting a little bit older. One of the ways I've noticed that is that my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. Fine print has become a little bit blurry. And so I've grown really long arms, stretching to read menus or when I open the mail, which is crazy, right? I know I need to make an appointment with Alice. I know I need to go and get glasses. And yet I've been much more inclined to just put up with fuzzy vision rather than seeing clearly. And yet, isn't that exactly what we do with God himself? Our vision is fuzzy. Our eyes can be easily distracted, our sight compromised. And sometimes it can be so subtle that we haven't even really noticed. So friends, lift up your eyes. Lift your eyes this morning and see the one who is enthroned in the heavens. God himself, in all his glory and splendor, ought to be the focus of our whole lives. And yet we can be so content, can't we, with blurry vision. Behold, the psalmist says, see verse 2, behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God, till he has mercy upon us. The servant, actually the slave, looks to the master, that the maidservant looks to her mistress. They look to the master in total dependence and service. They look for direction, for provision, for discipline, for protection. Slaves didn't have wandering eyes. Slaves couldn't afford to be distracted and unfocused. They knew their role because they knew their master. Good maidservant kept their eyes firmly focused on their mistress. And so too, friends, should our focus be like that, a focus squarely on the Lord our God. In an incredibly visual world, a world that's fast moving and full of fun and full of distraction, look to the Lord our God till he has mercy upon us. This morning, I want us to hear the cry of the psalmist. See verses 3 and 4. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough of contempt. Our soul has had more than enough of the scorn of those who are at ease, of the contempt of the proud. I think one of the reasons I love the Psalms so much is that they put into words the very longings of our heart. You know, the way we feel when we are just tired and weary and exhausted. You know that feeling? It's right here in this song lyric. It's right here in the mouth of the psalmist. Enough, he says. I've had enough. That's it. I've had it. He doesn't feel like that. I reckon I say that probably once a week. Enough. I've had it. Surely there's someone here who's even said that this morning. And God knows and God sees. The psalmist repeats that phrase in these two verses. You notice that? We've had more than enough. He says twice in two lines. Hear the cry. We've had more than enough. Now, for the original psalmist, he was contending with contempt and scorn. We don't know the original circumstances that he faced, but contempt and scorn are still well and truly alive thousands of years after this psalm was first written. Does someone treat you with contempt? Treating you as beneath them? Treating you with disrespect, with derision? Or do you feel scorn? Mockery and ridicule and sneering and scoffing. It's a common response to those of us who follow the Lord Jesus. When we follow Jesus, we make different choices. We have different priorities. We live very different lives. We spend our money differently and we retire differently and we work differently. We relate differently and, friends, we die differently to the world around us. And because we are different, we invite contempt and we invite scorn. So, friends, what will you do when contempt comes? What will you do when scorn comes? For some of us, it's easy for us to shrink back. Others of us like to go on the attack. But it's easy for us to get discouraged because it's easy to conform. It's easy to be defensive. But you know what the psalmist would say? He'd say, lift. Lift up your eyes and see the one who is enthroned in the heavens. Here again, the cry of the psalmist, verse 3. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. So he's not just saying, you know, lift your eyes and think positive thoughts. He's not just saying lift up your eyes and focus on some kind of impersonal being out there. He's saying lift up your eyes and see that our God is a God of mercy. Our God doesn't give us what we deserve. Our God doesn't pay us back what we are owed. God isn't a God of karma. He's a God of mercy and grace. He's a God of undeserved kindness. That's what the Apostle Paul says of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that Ben read for us earlier. It says this, the words are up on the screen behind me. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. That is who our God is. He is the Father of mercies. He is the God of all comfort. If only we would lift our eyes and see him for who he is. The Father of mercies who doesn't keep a record of all our wrongs. The God of all comfort who doesn't ignore our cries. In times of contempt and times of scorn, cry for mercy. Lift your eyes to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And we do this, friends, knowing that he has already shown us incredible mercy in his Son, the Lord Jesus. This is how Paul describes it in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. He says, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. It's pretty bleak, isn't it? We are dead in our sins. We're of the world. We follow the devil, the prince of the air. We live by the passions of our flesh. We live by our desires. And so we are children of wrath. We deserve God's judgment. But God isn't like that. He is the Father of mercies and God of all comforts. You notice that whole section there is all written in the past tense. Why? We've got to keep reading Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Friends, that is who God is. He is rich in mercy. He has great love for us. We were dead, and he made us alive. He saved us, not because of anything that we've done, but by his grace. He has raised us up and he has seated us already in heaven. And in the coming ages, he will show everyone and everything just how immeasurable the riches of his grace and mercy and kindness has been shown towards us in Jesus. And so, friends, if all of that is true, then lift. Lift your eyes and see him. We are so distracted and discouraged, aren't we? like I missed this on race day. We're distracted by the roar of the crowd. We are thrown off course by those around us in the race. We need the kind of blinkers that the Tonkins cobbled together that night. Blinkers that focus us, that focus all our attention on Him, the Father of mercies, the one with immeasurable grace. He has already done so much for us in Jesus. We've been made alive. We are seated in heaven. We have full and free forgiveness. No record of our wrongs exists to haunt us. No judgment for our disobedience and sin awaits us. He's already done that for us. So cry to Him, friends. Lift your eyes and cry for more mercy. Do you feel contempt and scorn? Lift your eyes and cry for more mercy. Do you feel great shame for something that you've done? Lift your eyes and cry for more mercy. Do you just feel anxious and weary and desperate and despairing? Lift your eyes and cry for more mercy. All those feelings, contempt and scorn and shame, anxiety, despair, weakness, all those feelings are normal and are to be expected in a broken and busted world. But do you know what God doesn't want us to do? He doesn't want us to keep our eyes down. Our eyes down and stuck in the muck that is all around us. He doesn't want us to try and solve it all ourselves, to be self-reliant, to push through, to do it all alone, to turn to anywhere else but to Him. We do that all the time, don't we? We turn anywhere else but to God for answers. We turn to a bottle, or we turn to exercise, or we fire up our computer, or we scroll through our phone. Or we take comfort in our super, or we trust in our bank balance, or we turn to the stars, or we knuckle down and we work ourselves to the bone. Lift. Lift your eyes to the one enthroned in heaven. And cry to Him with that heartfelt cry, "Have mercy upon us, O Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have had more than enough." More than enough. Well, there's one thing that we need to turn our attention to before we close our time together. You might have already noticed that on the way through in verse 2. I see it with me again, verse 2. "Behold, as the eyes of the servants look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maidservant to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till He has mercy upon us." Till He has mercy upon us. See, friends, our great and merciful God wants us to wait. He doesn't just want a glance towards Him as if that's going to fix all our issues. He doesn't want us, our attention, just, you know, one day a week. He wants us to look to Him until He has mercy on us. He wants us to wait. And so we wait and we trust. And we wait expectantly. We wait knowing His mercy and grace. We wait confident in the God of mercy and confident in His gospel. We wait in this confusing in-between. We are seated in the heavenly places, but we're not there yet, are we? We've been made alive in Christ, and yet death still haunts us. By grace we've been saved, and yet ultimate salvation is still ahead of us. We live in a world where we still feel contempt and scorn and affliction. We still live out our lives, this journey of our life, in a very broken world. It's not all over yet. And so our eyes are to look to our Lord and God until He has mercy upon us. This is how the Apostle Paul reflected on all of this waiting idea in 2 Corinthians 1. Again, the words are on the screen behind me. Paul says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death." He could be talking about many of us, couldn't he? Many of us here could feel this way, just afflicted and utterly burdened and despairing of life itself. Burdened beyond our strength. I wonder if you have felt like that. I wonder if you're feeling that right now. See, Paul felt so burdened. It was almost that he had received a sentence of death, like an execution was hanging over his head, but he didn't despair. Instead, he did what Psalm 123 is calling us to do. He lifted his eyes. He trusted and he waited. Here's how he describes it in verse 9. "But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again." See, Paul knew that even though he was afflicted and scorned and held in contempt, his reliance was on the one who raises the dead. On him, Paul says, we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Paul was content to wait expectantly, to look to the Lord his God until he had mercy upon him, to trust and to wait for this deliverance to come, to rely not on himself, but to rely wholeheartedly on the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, on the one who raises the dead. Lift, friends, lift your eyes. Put on your blinkers and focus on the finish line, but don't just focus on the end of the race, but focus on the one who will be there at the end. Lift your eyes to the one who is enthroned in the heavens. Behold him. See him. See his mercy and grace. He really is the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And he has already shown us incredible grace in the Lord Jesus. And he has even more mercy and grace to give. So cry out to him for mercy. Cry out when you've had more than enough. And wait. With your weak and easily distracted and blurry eyes, look to the Lord our God until he has mercy for us. Let's pray together about all this. Our great God and Heavenly Father, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, we give you thanks and praise that you are merciful and kind to us, that even though we don't deserve it, you shower us with love and affection and grace and mercy. Father, for many of us, we have had more than enough. We've had more than enough of contempt and more than enough of scorn and more than enough of affliction and pain and anxiety and despair. And so we cast ourselves upon you, Lord. Have mercy upon us. Help us to lift our eyes Help us to lift our eyes and see you as the one who is enthroned in the heavens. Protect us from relying on ourselves to try to fix our own mess as we live our lives in this broken world. Help us to wait well, to keep us looking to you, our Lord and God, until you have mercy upon us. Help us to wait expectantly. Stop us from turning to anything else but you for answers. Keep bringing us to our knees, crying to you for mercy, lifting our eyes to you for all things. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.